This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing, and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a goner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A goner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
We do welcome you in. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, and indeed, I am coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training, where today, not a whole lot happened. It was the first off day of spring training for the Cardinals, as they had been going nonstop for pitchers and catchers. The nonstop day-by-day action had been going on since February 12th. And then for the position players, although most of them were doing things prior to the first full squad workout, they have officially been required to be here every day since Monday, February 17th. So, you know, spring training's a grind. It goes for about 6 weeks or so. You only get 2 days off over that six-week period. This is the first of the 2 days at just about the halfway point of spring training. And then it kind of works out well. They're going to pick things back up again, playing a split squad game or two split squad games. Sometimes split squad games are good. Sometimes they're not so good. If they are going to be good, it's probably a day after an off day. It kind of allows you to catch up and get everybody activity and get right back into things. So two games are going to be coming up tomorrow. We're going to spend a lot of time in our next segment. What I'm going to do for you is I'm going to play just a couple things that Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol said yesterday in his post-game media conference, and I'll give you my thoughts on some of them because some of the biggest issues that I think exist on this team right now were discussed, and I don't want to give too much away here right now, but I'm well aware of the fact that there is a contingent of fans who are incredibly concerned about the lack of offense from the Cardinals so far. And the raw numbers are not good. Like, we're not going to run away from them. We're not going to try to, you know, sugarcoat them. They've got the worst team batting average of any team in Major League Baseball right now in all of spring training. And as of action today, they have scored only two teams in all of Major League Baseball, Cactus League and Grapefruit League. All but two teams have scored more runs than the Cardinals. So offensively, it's been a challenge. Now, I would encourage you in one form or another to listen in to today's edition of the Gas House Gang. It was pretty darn good. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Gas House Gang, it's a live show that we do every day at 12 noon that airs across the KMOX social media channels. So YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and wherever else. And then we do replay it on the radio at 8 o'clock. So you'll get an opportunity to hear it tonight. We're only doing Sports Open Line for about an hour. And then we are going to have the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. That's going to be coming your way. Tom Ackerman's going to be hosting that tonight starting at 7 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, that's when the Gas House Gang is going to come your way. Would definitely encourage you to be tuned in today because our guy, Kevin Wheeler, did some deep dive research on some of the underlying numbers when it comes to Cardinals hitting. Basically saying whether or not what we're seeing in terms of, you know, the baseball card numbers, batting average, home runs, RBIs, OPS, all that sort of stuff, whether or not that's legitimate at this point or whether or not that is something that's just kind of being skewed by small sample size and bad luck and that sort of thing. And it's a little bit of both. I think it's more that there's some that the numbers don't line up with that, but there are some there certainly are some things that you look at and you can be concerned about. But we'll hear from Oliver Marmol because I thought his answer about whether or not to be concerned about the team from an offensive standpoint was interesting. So we will play that for you coming up next hour and get into a few other things as well. The big news was that Zach Thompson was shut down with a lat injury. He has a lat strain. It's not a tear. It's a strain. But he is going to be shut down for maybe a month, 3 weeks to a month, and then he's going to be reevaluated. So what that means is, because he's only made one appearance in a Grapefruit League game, what that means for Thompson is that in about a month, he's going to be back where he was when spring training got started. And they're going to have to go through the process with him and ramp him up, whether it's at the, you know, the facility here in Jupiter and eventually on a rehab assignment and go from there. And that's honestly a best case scenario because lat strains can certainly stick around for a little while and you don't want to push them too far because they can you know, kick back up on you. So for Thompson, this is an incredibly disappointing development because this was a huge spring for him, just absolutely ginormous, as he was trying to claim a spot in the bullpen, show that, you know, what he showed in 2022 was real, because he pitched to a 2.08 ERA back in 2022 and was really good. Now, it wasn't a ton of games. It was 22 games. It was 34 and two-thirds innings, but still, that 2.08 ERA, that plays 27 strikeouts over the 34 innings. That's good enough. Maybe you'd like a little bit more than that, but it's good enough. Since then, 2023, he has pitched to a 4.48 ERA. And then last year, a year that was mostly spent in the minors, he had a 9.53 major league ERA. A lot of work was done for him trying to, you know, get back in a position of health and put it all together once again. All kind of amongst the backdrop of a lot of young Cardinals pitchers on the way. They're coming. And for me personally, I think that's one of the things that maybe I didn't know that I was going to be excited about before spring training got started that I've been excited about watching. I really want to see what Tekoa Roby looks like in the Major League bullpen. I really want to see what Gordon Graceffo looks like in the Major League bullpen. I want to see Chris Roycroft. Does he take another step forward after he had some really good moments and some not so good moments in the big leagues last year? Rodri Munoz, does he make this team? If he does, are they able to harness just the explosiveness that is in his arm and turn him into a really big piece in the bullpen? There's a bunch of young guys like that that I'm excited to see. So if those guys don't pan out, eventually Thompson gets healthy and he gets back going. You hope that this injury doesn't, you know, derail this season to a point that he never does get going. But I think, you know, you never root for injury. That's not what I'm saying. But I am I am curious what some of these young guys are going to look like. I'm bummed for Thompson. At the same time, I'm excited to see some of these young arms, and I think they could. I think this could be a strength. You know, that's one of the big questions after the bullpen was so incredible last year for the Cardinals. Did a great job in one-run games. Obviously, that group with Helsley and Romero and Kittredge at the back end was so good. Kittredge is gone now. Romero is going to be looking for more consistency after he had a couple bouts of, you know, periods where he just wasn't great, but for the most part was really good. And then Helsley put together one of the best relief seasons in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals. But the next group of guys beyond that, and the guys that you trust in high leverage, it can't just be three guys. If Ryan Fernandez kind of moves into the Andrew Kittredge role, which seems likely, you still need another guy or two that you trust. Because I think that JoJo Romero's downturn last year was connected to usage. I thought they used him too much. You're forced to use a guy too much when you don't trust other people in those big moments. So that's the goal here. That they are able to find guys that they trust in high leverage situations. Okay, so we're going to dive into the offense. We're going to dive into Nolan Gorman. We're going to dive into Jordan Walker and just where those guys are, what we could learn about yesterday's game, things like that. We're going to do that. We'll hear Oliver Marmol talk a little bit about it. That's all coming up in just a moment. We have you for 1 hour tonight from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinals spring training. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hi, I'm Molly Marmol, and you're listening to Sports Open Line on KMOX.
From Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinal Spring Training, this is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Welcome back into the program. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. We have you for just 1 hour this evening as we will make way for the SLU Coaches Show. Tom Ackerman's going to be hosting that this evening from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so make sure to stay tuned for that. Wanted to play back some of what Oliver Marmol had to say after the game yesterday, because he hit on a couple, I think, big picture topics that are definitely worth talking about a little bit, so wanted to certainly get into that. First off, as we've mentioned already on the program, today a total off day from camp. It is closed down. They've gone nonstop for pitchers and catchers. They have gone nonstop since the first workout for those guys. For position players, many of them have been here since pitchers and catchers reported even beyond that. They've been going nonstop since their first official workout. So there's two off days over the course of like the 6 weeks of spring training. There's two off days that are built in, and today is the first of the two as we're basically at the halfway point of spring training. So a good day for everybody to kind of relax a bit. Now, the Cardinals actually tried to kind of make it a little easier for the guys yesterday. They played a game, but they told guys that they could report late and there wasn't a lot of extra work beyond the actual game being played that was going to go on yesterday. And we talked a little bit about that with Oliver Marmol yesterday, about just this being a good time for the off day, but also about the work that he has seen his club put in so far.
I like where we're at with camp. I feel like the energy is amazing. The guys feel good. They got their legs under them. They're working hard. Yesterday was guys got after it on the bases and defensively. And we gave them a break today, and they still went out there and got their individual work in and asked for more, which is, I love it. So it lets you know that they're in a good spot physically. So to be able to have a day tomorrow, physically and mentally off, enjoy some downtime, a beach, maybe an adult beverage.
I think one of the toughest things right now when evaluating this Cardinals team is looking at some of the offensive numbers and figuring out what's real and what's not real. So the baseball card numbers, they're not great. They're not great. The team is hitting 184 so far in spring. That is the lowest batting average of any team in all of spring training, both in Florida and in Arizona. From a run scoring standpoint, the Cardinals so far have scored 37 runs, excuse me. And after some activity of going into today, there was only four teams that had scored less runs than that. A couple of those teams played and scored some runs today, so they've played more games than the Cardinals. But right now, only the Miami Marlins and Minnesota Twins have scored less runs than the Cardinals at this point in time. So that's the negative numbers. And I'm not trying to like run away from the negative numbers. I'm also very willing to acknowledge the fact that a 9-game sample is not all telling, and more importantly, a lot of guys are putting in a lot of work right now, and they've made some changes, and the evolution of those changes are still happening. And sometimes when guys struggle at the plate, it's connected to changes. But then there's also the underlying numbers, and I get it. I realize anytime I bring this up, there's a lot of people that push back, don't care about the underlying numbers, care about the baseball card numbers, care about average, care about home runs, care about RBIs, maybe you care about OPS, but you don't want to hear about any of the StatCast numbers and things like that. And I get it. I understand why people feel that way. I would tell you the StatCast numbers are important. They're really important because what they do is they tell you a story about how somebody is actually looking at the plate and not so much about the luck or unluck that goes along with the result.
So again, I understand. There's a lot of people who just kind of shake their head when I start talking about this stuff. More often than not, over a 162-game season, the underlying numbers, hard hit, exit velocity, launch angle, all those sort of things, they're going to play out to certain numbers. Does it happen sometimes where they don't, where somebody's got really, really good Statcast numbers and it does, they're just very unlucky and they don't have the baseball card numbers to go along with it? Yeah, that happens. That absolutely happens. But if you're hitting the ball hard, if you're hitting the ball in the air, if you're doing those sort of things, you're doing what you should be doing at the plate. And generally speaking, it's going to play out in a good way, again, over the 162-game season. So, there's a lot of really good numbers for the Cardinals when it comes to that hard hit rate. We talked about this today on the Gas House Gang. Our guy Kevin Wheeler, love him. He was sick for a few days, so what did he do? He dove into the Statcast numbers and basically pored over the data for every single game that the Cardinals have played this season. And he sent us basically a report, us being Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, myself. He sent a report on some of the underlying numbers and how the numbers, for the most part, are actually better than the baseball card numbers, and the Cardinals have kind of hit into some bad luck. That's not true for everybody. There are some alarming things right now, like Mason Wynn is swinging a lot outside the zone, and that's something that he could do better. So it wasn't 100% all, you know, rose petals and honey. Like, it was, there was some bad stuff in there as well. But for the most part, the underlying numbers would say the Cardinals have done a better job at the plate than the overall numbers would say. So that takes us to this. Again, we don't run away from the fact that the overall numbers aren't very good. They're a 184 hitting team so far early on in spring. But Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, he said that he does not have any current concerns about the club from an offensive standpoint right now.
I think we're in a really good spot. Yeah, I mean, I really like where Newt's at. I really like where Nato's at. I like where Walker's at. I think from a swing standpoint of decision-making and swing, Herrera, for this time in spring training, is in a good spot. You look at Vic and some other, like, I'm not worried about our offense.
I want to spend some time talking a little bit about Nolan Gorman and also Jordan Walker, because we've spent so much time talking about these guys. In many ways, we have put the hopes and dreams of this year's Cardinals team largely on their shoulders, saying that if they take a step forward, then the Cardinals are going to take a step forward, and they're probably going to be a much better run-scoring team. Well, for Gorman, it has not been good. He finally got his first hit of spring yesterday, but at this moment, he is 1-for-15 with 8 strikeouts. Now, like I told you earlier, some of the numbers would tell you that he's better than that, than the 0.67 average, hitting the ball hard, yada, yada, yada. But the numbers are what the numbers are. He finally did get a hit yesterday. He doubled. We've seen it, you know, for me down here watching it, and Oliver Marmol's talked about it a lot if you have paid attention. Gorman has looked fantastic during batting practice and during live BP and doing all these things that he'd been working on with new hitting coach Brant Brown, and that process started in the offseason. Unfortunately for Gorman, it hasn't come out in the games quite yet until we saw him hit the double to left center field yesterday, a really hard hit double, and Marmol was clearly happy that Gorman finally got to see some fruits of all the labor that he's put in.
It's good to see, and it's good for him to experience that because he's been working on trying to stay on it. If you watched his last BP, he was really trying to drive the ball through the middle. He's got some real strength towards that left center field gap. So him being able to stay on the ball and then hit mistakes pull side, just because his barrel can stay in the zone long enough to do that, is a good thing. So hopefully we can build off of that.
And then the final guy that I want to spend some time talking about, and this is going to be the bulk of what we talk about here in this segment, it's Jordan Walker. And you don't make too much of any one single game for sure. That being said, Walker looked fantastic yesterday. The box score doesn't say. This is another case of the maybe the box score not jiving with what actually happened. But Jordan Walker looked fantastic in the game yesterday. Second inning, sac fly, exit velo 99 miles per hour. Fifth inning, line out, exit velo 102 miles per hour. Hit the crap out of the ball, just hit it right at a guy. And in the seventh inning yesterday, he hit a ball 387 feet. It would have been a home run in 26 major league parks. So almost all major league parks, it would have been a home run at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium in Jupiter, Florida. It is not a home run. So he finished the day 0-for-2 with an RBI. But if you dive in a little bit, that was a good day. And I'll tell you, you can believe me or not believe me, but I'm telling you, if he puts that kind of profile together more often than not, he is going to have spectacular numbers at the end of the season. He might have all-star numbers. Like that is the profile of someone who is really hitting at a high level. It's only one game in spring training. I'm not telling you that this guy's going to be an all-star this year, but I am trying to tell you that the box score doesn't tell the story on that one, because that was a really, really good day at the plate. He just had some bad luck. So as Marmol talked about that, obviously he was also happy with Walker's day.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome. I mean, he's taken some solid strides. All three at bats were exactly what you would want to see out of him. So very, very positive day for Jordan Walker.
When we dive in a little bit more on Jordan Walker, Marmol said that, you know, Walker really has evolved in ways that go beyond just the production, where he's kind of able to recognize the things that we just talked about.
He's matured a ton in understanding that you're not just chasing the hit, but you're chasing the right move to the ball that allows you to consistently do what you want to do. And today he did exactly that. So he was able to come in. We had a conversation after the last one, and he's like, man, I'm actually like doing what I want to do with the barrel. Like, I'm in a good spot right now. And he talked through it, and that's what you want to hear. Like, he didn't allude to any of them being caught at all, actually. He's doing what he wants to the baseball. He can care less about what happens after that. So that lets me know he's in a really good spot.
And maybe we're jumping the gun on this one because we want to see Walker continue to put together those kind of days, you know, more often than not here in spring. And you hope that that was a turning point, but there's nothing guaranteeing that it will be. But Marmol did say that he feels like as Walker has done this work with Brent Brown, as he's been, you know, steady and very diligent in his work here during the spring training, that in many ways, Walker has been able to take all the work that he has put in, got him better and better and better, and that helped lead to the day that we saw yesterday.
I feel like that's what he's done over the last several games, is just build on the previous at-bats and continue to build on it, and then go to the cage and conversations with Brownie and that group. I feel like that's what leads to a day like today where he hits three balls exactly the way he wants and just keeps moving on. He's got a good routine right now, and it's leading and transitioning into the game, which is awesome.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol as we do a little fun with audio here on the program today. Again, total off day today for the Cardinals. They are going to get back at it coming up tomorrow, as they've got two games tomorrow, actually. They're going to play some split squad games. They've got one game against the Mets. That's going to be at home at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. And then another split squad will head over to West Palm Beach to match up against the Nationals. By the way, of note, we are going to have the streaming broadcast of the home game against the Mets. Mike Claiborne and myself will be on the call for that, and that can be listened to at cardinals.com, MLB.com, on the MLB app, wherever you happen to do that. So no actual radio broadcast, but we will have a streaming audio broadcast available of that one coming up tomorrow, the home game against the Mets. We will take a break, and when we return, we are going to be joined by Matthew DeFranks from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We'll shift gears, talk a little Blues hockey as they have played themselves back into playoff contention here lately. From Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinal Spring Training, you're locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. And while there might be a lot of focus on the Cardinals,
The Blues, they have done a lot of work recently before a loss to the Stars. They had won four straight games, knocking down that deficit in terms of getting back into playoff position. And now we'll see what they can do here moving forward after a loss, if they can get it back going. Very happy to welcome onto the program. He is the beat writer covering the Blues for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is Matthew DeFranks. You follow him on Twitter at MDeFranks. Matthew, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Just walking around in California and enjoying a little bit of sunshine, similar to you probably in Jupiter some days.
Yeah, we're both in sunny places on different sides of the country right now. Blues are going to match up against the Kings here in a couple days. Before we really touch on the Stars stuff, what did you think as this team went on that run and won four in a row and had some really dominant victories in there against Seattle and Washington and against the Kings? This was their best run of hockey pretty much all season long, and it kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was probably just as stunned as a lot of other people, to be quite honest. You know, at the break, the math I kept doing was they were closer to a top five pick than they were to a playoff spot at the Four Nations break. And suddenly a week goes by and they're 1 point out. It all just changed so quickly when they go through a four game win streak and Vancouver goes 1-4 and the 8 point deficit is now one. So I was just stunned at how quickly it happened and how quickly the math really changed, because at the break you're thinking they're chasing 94, 95 points to get in the playoffs, and you start adding up how many games are left, and it's a tall task. And when Calgary and Vancouver start losing some games and suddenly they're chasing maybe 90 points even, that seems a lot more doable for a team, especially after a four-game win streak. And
yeah, it's been games that they
actually deserve to. So there weren't any fluky wins in there, like maybe on five on Sunday in Dallas. Like, Dallas didn't deserve, to beat the Blues. But for the most part, the Blues, during their earning those victories, it was something that they were doing well, controlling the game 5-on-5. They had kind of defensemen up in the rush. They had forecheck going. They had solid goaltending. The special teams was good. There was a lot going well, and it just kind of happened so quickly. It all came together fast.
The other kind of moment this year where they really put themselves back into good shape was back when they had those back-to-back wins against Calgary back in mid-January, and it felt like everything was in a really good spot. But then they weren't able to follow that up, and they went back into a lull. Do you feel like there's anything different about this team right now where, and they're going into a really tough stretch right now with all these road games coming up, can this team find a way to continue to kind of hold on to this momentum and the more than momentum, just the level of play that they've been at? Can this continue, do you think, here over the next couple weeks?
Yeah, it's a tough answer, because you know the warning signs were kind of shown in Dallas a little bit. You know, I think since Jim Montgomery took over, the 5-on-5 play has been so much better than it was under Drew Bannister. And talking to some people around the league, that you know they recognize that the Blues have been a better team and that the results just haven't followed, despite playing better. And things were, because it was a bad result. I looked it up today. It's the fifth worst in NHL history, the worst in Blues history, fifth worst all time. And so that was a big issue. This was a big issue on Sunday. And then the other part was kind of be consistent goaltending. You would see some really great games out of Binnington and Hofer, and then you'd see some letdowns. And so the first few games after the bridge, yeah, Binnington played pretty well. Hofer played decently when he had to against Winnipeg and Washington. And then the last night in Dallas, he got to be a little bit inconsistent with that. So the issues that plagued them during this, they were kind of mediocre. They kind of popped up again in Dallas, despite playing pretty decently in 5-on-5. So it's tough to say that, you know, whether they'll come back down or whether they'll be able to right the ship in Los Angeles. But the warning signs are there right now in terms of the other parts of their game that's kind of failed them.
generally you look at a six-game road trip and a lot of this time being spent out west, and you get kind of worried. But at the same time, it's a team that hasn't played great at home. They won the final two games of that long homestand, which is good. They salvaged it a little bit. But if you want to kind of spin things in the Blues direction, is them being on the road right now maybe actually a benefit, because in many ways they've been a better road team than a home team?
Yeah, I don't know. To me, they've been. I know their record's a little bit different, home road split, but it's they've been largely an average or mediocre team in both places. So to me, not that big of a difference. But I do understand maybe there's also the fact that the trade deadline is on Friday, and that road having some time around the guys and taking that to being at home, maybe that can get you away from a little distraction, maybe. But really, this is two separate trips for them. They had this Dallas and California one home, spent 4 days there before back out to Pittsburgh, Minnesota. So an extended time without a home game. But they will be able to at least get back to St. Louis, change themselves out.
Kind of a weird schedule quirk that they play Los Angeles three times basically in a week. You see teams play back to back, or see a team play a team twice in a week, but to play three times in 1 week in the regular season, that's almost unheard of.
Yeah, and it's kind of bringing back memories of that shortened 2021 COVID season, where they had the 18 divisions and they were just playing within the division. And I think there was that 1 week where the Blues and Coyotes, they might have played seven games in a row. Mm-hmm. A little playoff series in the middle of the season. And even this season earlier, Calgary played two games in St. Louis. So, yeah, definitely a little strange. Yeah. With Anaheim, they play them, I guess, this weekend. And then their next home game, I believe, is against the Ducks. So all these California teams are kind of hitting a quick look at it. We had the Vegas kind of home-and-home earlier. Yeah, just kind of quirks that pop up. And, for Jim Montgomery, this is something that he enjoys. He's a man that loves coaching. And that sounds silly because, yes, he's a coach. But the fact that he can go into three games in 8 days against the same team and look at the different matchups that the coach wants, look at the different adjustments, those are things that he really enjoys doing and likes doing. That's kind of part of coaching, so to speak. And so, sure, he's... I don't know if excited would be quite the right word, but it's the challenge of having seen the team so often this week.
You mentioned Jim Montgomery. We'll finish you off with this as we're talking with Matthew DeFranks from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Is part of what we've seen in this kind of good run here recently, can any of it be connected? When Montgomery first came in, he said it's going to take a little while for things to really get running the way his system wants to run. Can some of it be credited to it's just taken time to get the team playing the way he's wanted them to play?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some of that. And, they had that really rough streak in January where, it seemed like almost everyone in the organization was downtrodden. And I wonder how much of the break kind of helped them because they're able to get away from hockey. They're able to mentally reset. The coaching staff took on new projects on, how do we pre-scout ourselves? How do we do these things better? How do we, not talk about the standings at all? That's something that Jim Montgomery mentioned yesterday, is that the Blues coaching staff, they don't even mention the standings to each other, to the players. Everyone knows where they're at, and it's just one of those things. It's going to happen whether you talk about it or not, and so let's focus on everything else. So the break helps them with that, and, they've also kind of seemed to enjoy what they're doing right now. I think you look at a lot of the players and
Thomas and Schneider's set up line's got always hot right now.
The fourth line had a good game in Dallas. There's so many guys that are playing well that it's breeding a good attitude around the group. And I step to the pencil break and reset that they had.
He is Matthew DeFranks, covers the Blues for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Matthew, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. Enjoy, the two trips, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That is Matthew DeFranks joining us here on the program. We appreciate him spending a little bit of time with us. We will take a break, come back, and wrap up this edition of the program leading into the SLU Basketball Coaches Show from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinal Spring Training. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it for one final time tonight. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are done early because we've got the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. That's going to be beginning with Tom Ackerman hosting in just a few moments from Westport Social just after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX. Tomorrow, you're going to have many options when it comes to Cardinals baseball. I say many, two. There's going to be two separate games that are set to take place tomorrow. Cardinals will head over to West Palm tomorrow to match up against the Washington Nationals in a split squad game. Andre Pallante is going to start that game for the Cardinals. And then there's going to be a group that stays home to match up against the Mets at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. And Michael McGreevy is going to start that game. So a couple of the young starters are going to be on the mound. And, you know, this starting rotation, it can, you know, we didn't really get the chance to talk about it too much on the show today, and we'll try to do it later on the week, that, you know, Quinn Matthews going down, there were some people who reacted quite negatively. Like, that was always the plan. Matthews was never going to break camp with the big league club, and I think everybody was pretty accepting of that during the offseason, just the idea that this is somebody who pitched at four levels last year, and he struggled and ran out of gas at the end of the season at AAA, so it makes all the sense in the world to go ahead and start him this year at AAA, let him master AAA or show mastery of AAA hitters, and then get him to the big leagues. I think what we've seen so far from Cardinals starters in spring has been good. They're slowly ramping up. They're slowly going deeper into games. We'll know a lot more when it comes to this here in a couple weeks as they start touching five and maybe six innings, which would be good to see. But I've been mostly pleased with everything. Now, Sonny Gray hasn't pitched in a Grapefruit League game yet, but what we've seen from Eric Fetty, what we have seen from Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis and Michael McGreevy, even Andre Pallante. Like, Pallante's numbers, the box score numbers on his last start didn't look good, but he did exactly what he does. He got ground balls, and it was just one of those unlucky days where they found their way through. But if you're being discerning about what Pallante did in his first start, it was perfectly fine. Again, just one of those days where everything found a hole. So if he gets that soft contact, if he's on the ground consistently, he's going to be the guy that he was last year. You just know with that style of pitcher, sometimes it's going to go bad almost by no fault of their own. That's another reason that strikeout pitchers are so important, because they're able to more control things as opposed to ground ball pitchers that deal with a little bit of luck. So we will no show tomorrow. We've got SLU basketball. I'll be back with you for a full 2-hour show on Wednesday. Up next, it is the SLU Coaches Show. Tom Ackerman hosting that tonight. It's up next here on KMOX.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.